lost, and when I backslid and left him, had he come and found me. That song still thrills my soul. And this story, if you know your Bible any at all, you know what Luke 15 is. It's the song we just sung. Very, very familiar scripture. But I studied last night, and I read, and I studied. Finally, about 2 o'clock this morning, the Lord said, go here. So that's where we're going to go this morning. I believe the Lord wants to help us today. But the only help that we're going to get is the help that we're ready and willing to receive. And if we want to get in with the Lord, we're going to have to get in on the service. We're going to have to get excited about who the Lord is. Amen. Sunday school was good. Sunday school was good this morning. Shed tears, was concerned for the preacher, and that's well and good. But now we're in preaching time. Now we're in the time when the Lord, I believe, is wanting to speak to hearts. He done spoke to my heart. He spoke to me last night, and he spoke to me this morning. And I'm just glad to be saved. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. I'm glad I'm not still out there lost and undone by myself without the Lord, because I've been there over and over and over. I was out in that place where I didn't feel God, and I didn't know where the Lord was, and I didn't feel satisfied. I didn't feel comfortable. I felt uncomfortable and scared that I was going to die right out there by myself. But I'm not there this morning. I'm not in that place today. And I'm excited that I'm in the hand of God. And he's got me right in the palm of his hand. And I don't have to worry about the enemy. I don't have to worry about going to hell. I don't have to worry about dying in my sin, because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. I chose to come to him when he called my name. When he called my name, I chose to come to him. And I love him this morning. I love the Lord. This might be a little different. I don't know. I don't usually do what we're getting ready to do here. But I believe without a doubt that this is what the Lord had placed on our heart. Luke chapter 15. We may do more reading this morning than we do preaching. I don't know. But I'm going to do what the Lord has called us to do. Pray for us this morning. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 and in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? So this sheep is a sheep. And this sheep's wandered off, and now it says this sheep is lost. Amen. If you wander off from the flock, you're just as lost can be. This ain't to a unsaved man. I believe with all my heart that this scripture and the following 3 or 4 parables is to the saved man. Amen. If you're a sheep, you're a sheep. If you're a goat, you're a goat. This passage of scripture is to a sheep. Amen. That's to the saved man. He said, read 4 again. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. God, we need your touch. We desire your help. God, I can't preach without you. You know, we need you. There's no preach within me. There's nothing that can convict a heart. There's nothing in me that can help anybody other than you. God, I pray, Lord, this morning that the Holy Ghost of God would help us. Lord, that you'd move here in this place. Lord, that you would convict hearts. Lord, that you'd show us just exactly where we are. Lord, we need you. God, I can't do it without you. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's lost, God, that you would deal with their heart and draw them back to the fold. Lord, your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just read 4 again. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know, I sure am glad that we've got a God that when we stray, when we go off. How many's ever strayed in here this morning? How many's ever strayed? Amen. I sure am glad that we've got a God that when we stray from the straight path that he's leading us down, he don't just leave us there. He comes and he gets us. I'm going to read this right here to you. I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it. This is out of a commentary. But this is talking about sheep. This man knows more about sheep than I do. So I'm going to read you what this said. It blessed my heart last night about 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, the phrase, layeth it on his shoulders, contains the possibility of the depth of meaning in Psalms 23:3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths here mentioned speaks of the anointed path, i.e. anointed, appointed by God. At times, the reluctant sheep, that just means the sheep that chooses not to be under the authority of God. The sheep that has a problem with authority. And I've been that sheep before. Had a problem with authority. That sheep that has problem with authority will leave the path, and because of acute dumbness. I like that wordage there, acute dumbness. Any one of us that leaves, the best thing that ever happened to us is just flat out dumb. Maybe you think you ought not say that behind the pulpit, but if you leave Jesus, the one thing that's going to get you to heaven, if you walk away from the straight path that he's laid out before you, that makes you dumb. And I can say that because I am one that's been dumb. I am one that knew the Lord. Y'all know my testimony, but I guess I'll just preach my testimony this morning. I am one that knew the Lord, knew the way, was on the straight path, had all the blessings of God around me that surrounded me and enabled me to walk the straight path as good as anybody's ever been enabled, and because of my acute dumbness, walked away from God, got out in the wilderness, got off by myself, and I was lost. I didn't know where God was. I couldn't find God. I couldn't hear God. I couldn't feel God. And I can't help but think this morning that maybe you're here today and you're in that place. You're in that place where you don't know where God is. You're in that place where you can't feel the Spirit of God. You've not felt the touch of God in a long time. And if that's where you're at, it's because you've walked away from the best thing that ever happened to you. It's because you've went down a path that was not prescribed by God. You've walked away from that appointed path that God has appointed you to. And because of acute dumbness, will quickly find itself lost. Possibly caught in a rocky defile, unable to extricate itself. You ever been there? Stuck. Got away from God, had been under the hand of God, had felt the power of God, had knew that you was saved, knew that your name was in the book of life, but yet you've got off the path and you've got to a place that you're just stuck. Just stuck in it, and you're crying out to God, but you ain't getting nowhere. You've cried. I can't tell you how many times I'd sit back out where Jerry Hodges is, and I'd come to the altar and I'd pray and I'd say, "Lord, I need you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me." And I'd go back to my seat, and we'd do the same thing over again. We wouldn't ever get out of that place that we was called in. I was hung up in sin. I was stuck in a rut. I was stuck in between a rock and a hard place, and couldn't get out of it. I've been there, and it was because of my dumbness. It was because of me, my flesh, who I am, what I wanted to do. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't God's fault that things didn't change. It was because of me. It was because of me. Caught in a rocky defile, unable to extricate itself. All it can do is bleat. All a sheep can do if it's stuck away from the shepherd is bleat. It's bleat. Which will have the desired effect. I like this. The shepherd, seeing that it is missing, will search for it and find it by its cries. You know, if you call on the Lord today, if you call on his name, all them times that I come and I was crying to the Lord, he was hearing me. I was his child. I was a sheep. I belonged to him. I was a child of God. And I was calling on him, and he was coming because he heard me crying out to him. He come because I was his. And if you're his, if you're a child of God and you're calling on him, he's coming to you. He's coming to where you're at. He'll come and help you. He'll get you out of that hard place, that place where you're stuck in. He will come to you and pull you out. It said the shepherd will then take his crook, tenderly lifting the wayward one up and restore it to the path. What a loving God that is. The shepherd, he compares us to sheep, and that's what he's showing us here in this scripture. A shepherd, a worldly, earthly shepherd, will come, and when his sheep is stuck in a hard place, he'll reach down with his crook and he'll gently and lovingly pull them out. And he'll get him back out and he'll set him back on his feet and he'll put him back in the flock. He'll send him back down that straight path and he'll say, "Now go this way. Now go this way." I remember as a young man, I got saved at 6 years old. And you say, "Well, you was young." Yeah, absolutely I was young, but I knew God and I knew who the Lord was. And many times when I got on up about 12, 13 years old, I would fall out in that hard place. My acute dumbness, because teenagers know it all, but they really don't know nothing. And I would fall out into that place and the Lord would have to come pull me back out of it. He'd have to come pick me back out of it over and over again. And he was so kind to me. Every time I come to an altar and cried out, he would pull me back out of that place and he'd set me back up, set me on the solid rock. He'd clean me up, clean my sin off. He'd put the new robe on me. He would get me all right and righteous and holy and ready. And he would say, "All right, now follow me. All right, now follow me." And every time that I ended up right back in that ditch, it was my fault. It was my fault. He was so kind and loving and gentle, and he pulled me out, but yet I would end up right back. Right back in that same, just over and over and over again. Anybody ever been there? You just fell right back into that ditch. Right back into that ditch. The shepherd will then take his crook, tenderly lifting the wayward one up and restore it to the path. In fact, and regrettably, this can happen several times. This is talking about earthly. This is talking about a sheep and a shepherd in the earthly manner. But this is what Jesus is speaking of here in the scripture. In fact, and regrettably, this can happen several times with the scene being repeated. However, if the little creature persists in leaving the appointed path, there will come a time when the shepherd will react differently. That's scary. That's scary. And I've been there. I've experienced this. And if you're here today and you're in that place that you just keep falling into that same ditch, you keep falling into that same hard place, and you keep going back to it after he has so kindly and graciously pulled you out, if you keep going right back to it, there's going to come a time that the shepherd is going to react differently to you. Instead of just pulling you out kindly, there's a different circumstance that happens here. Whereas he had always come immediately, now he will not come so quickly. He will allow the lamb to bleat until it has no voice left. Stark fear then begins to set in with the little animal, with it not knowing the shepherd is watching it all the time. Boy, I sure am glad that when I was stuck in that place, and I was calling on the Lord, and I was doing the drugs and the alcohol and the fornication and the thieving and the lying and all the stuff that I was doing, and I wanted out, and I didn't know how to get out, and the Lord just wasn't there. I couldn't feel him. I couldn't hear him. I couldn't see him. I didn't get him on the inside. The place I was in, I was stuck, and I was stuck there, and I couldn't get out, because before in my life, I'd fell into that sin, and he pulled me out gently, and he pulled me out kindly, and he was good to me, but now I had ended up in a place and he wasn't nowhere to be found. He was gone. I couldn't hear him, and I was scared because I was right by myself, and I had cried out and I'd said, "God, I need you. God, I can't get off the drugs. God, I can't feel you. I can't hear your voice anymore." And even though I couldn't feel him, he was still watching. He was still watching, and he was still listening, and he had a plan. He had a plan. All of my mistakes were all my fault. But I sure am glad that God had a plan. God had another plan to use my mistakes and to use my mishaps and to use my acute dumbness to grow me and help me and change me and give me a testimony and give me compassion like I never had before. He used it to help me grow up. He used it to help me grow with him. Listen, your mistakes are not okay, but they can be used for the glory of God. They can be used to change who you are. You don't have to continue in your sin. You don't have to. He came by my way and he'll come by yours too. He'll pull you out. whereas he had always come immediately, now he will not come so quickly. He will allow the lamb to bleat until it has no voice left. Stark fear begins to set in the little animal, with it not knowing that the shepherd is watching all the time. After a lapse, the shepherd will finally come to the sheep. He will take his crook as always, lifting the sheep out, but then will do something he has not done previously. After picking up the lamb, he will extend one of its front hooves. He says, an earthly sheep and an earthly shepherd, this is what they do. This is reality. And this is what Jesus is using this parable to show us. Said he will extend one of its hooves, so it takes his leg out, and he holds his leg out. He will extend one of its front hooves and taking the heavy end of its crook, brings it down smartly on the leg, breaking the bone. This sheep that he loves, this sheep that he cares for, this sheep that he's helped over and over, that he's went to pull out of that place, to pull out of that stuck place over and over. Now he's left it a while. I felt that in my soul. Then he's left it a while. And here it is, left in this hard place. And even though the sheep couldn't see him, didn't know he was there, the shepherd was still there. Because he was one of the shepherds. And he was crying out to it, and the sheep bleated and bleated because he wanted the shepherd to come and rescue him. But he bleated till he didn't have no voice anymore. And after he bleated till his voice was totally gone, then the shepherd finally comes by. Boy, I thank God that the shepherd came by me. Even though I didn't know he was nowhere around, he was watching. And he came by where I was stuck at. Whew. And he pulled out my leg. And he took his crook and he broke it. And he broke it. Now let's read here. He said, after picking up the lamb, he would extend one of its front hooves. And taking the heavy end of his crook, brings it down smartly on the leg, breaking the bone. He will then carefully set the brake and carry the sheep on his shoulder until the leg is healed, exactly as described here by Jesus. When he went to get him, Jesus says, when he went to find the one from the left of 90 and 9, it said that he come back there and verse number 5, it said, and when he had found, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So he sets the leg back. It says the lamb will be much more prone to remain on the appointed path. Praise the Lord. You know, when I had been out, y'all know my testimony. When I had been out in sin for all that time, and I know this is different, this ain't normal, but this is what the Lord gave me. When I'd been out in sin for all that time, and he left me out there, I thought I was abandoned. I thought I was left for dead. I was scared every day when I woke up I was going to die and go to hell because of my stupidity, because of my dumbness. I thought that my sin had ruined my life, and I would never be anything for the Lord. As a 12-year-old boy, it started dealing my heart to preach, and I thought, Lord, if I'd just done what you told me to do, I wouldn't be in this place. If I had just went in the path that you directed me on instead of veering off and going in my own way, I would have never ended up here. And now I'm stuck, and I can't hear your voice. But I say thank God that in May of 2013, he heard my cry. I had cried and I had cried and I had cried, and it looked like everything was going to literally fall apart. But he came by my way, and it wasn't easy. But when I got saved, I remember as a 6-year-old boy, Riding up Highway 89 here, y'all know this, in a white Mazda pickup truck. The Lord had been dealing with my heart, showed me I was lost. And from the moment that I understood really that I was lost, I surrendered to the Lord and I got saved. So there was never really a time there that I was living in sin. But there was still an excitement and a fire, Noah, that excited me because I knew that I was saved. And the Holy Ghost was in me and I could feel Him. And it was so exciting that I knew that I was born again. And all these people at the church that had been shouting, I understood while they were shouting. And I was so excited that I got to be a part of that. And I was so excited that I knew that God knew me on a personal basis. And that He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that I was going to heaven. And it just felt so wonderful. And if you've ever been born again, that's the way it felt for you. It's just like the weight of the world was lifted off and everything felt so good. And you knew for sure that you was going to heaven. Gene, I'll never forget when we got done praying right here at the Christmas play. And the tears was a sobbing and we stood up. And he said, TJ, I repented. And he was just so excited because it was so good that it was all gone. But after that time, when the Lord had left me in the ditch, in the hard place for a while, when He come and finally pulled me back out, He taught me a lesson. And it wasn't like it was when I got born again. It was tough. It was tough. And he spiritually speaking, Butch done quoted it this morning. I'll read it. I think I got it wrote down. Butch done quoted it this morning. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Well, when He come to me this time, after I'd been down this long, long path, and that path was part of my punishment. That part where He just left me in my sin and He wasn't hearing my prayers and He wasn't giving me a chance to get out, that was part of the chastisement. That was part of the lesson that He was teaching me. And I felt so guilty and I felt so bad. But then He came by that one more time and He pulled me back out, and it was tough and it was hard, and I had to face my church people and I had to go and give my testimony and tell people in all these churches how dirty and rotten I am. I mean, really, that's what I have to do every day now. I have to tell the world just how low down and sorry that I am. But the Lord used that, and He used what He done there in my life, just like He does for the sheep here, by breaking the leg and setting it back so that I remember that pain. I remember that trouble. I remember that heartache, and I don't go back there. If it wasn't for that, I would have went right back into the same old mess. But can I say, He still rejoiced. He still rejoiced. And I believe this morning, by the preached word and by the testimony that's given and by the tears that I've seen on some of y'all's faces, the Lord's rejoicing. I believe the Lord would be glad to come pull you out of the ditch, the trouble and heartache, the ditch of sin this morning, pull you out of it and change you and fix you and not look back and use what's happened in your life for His glory. You know, I didn't understand why I was so addicted to drugs. I didn't understand why I could not get out of that mess. But it was so that the Lord could use it to break my leg, put it back together, and make me stay. Thank God for a God that does things on a daily basis still to this day to make me stay. To make me stay, because I'm dumb. I'm dumb and I'll fall off a cliff. I'll fall off by the wayside. I'll be right back in the same mess I was in if it wasn't for the Lord using the chastisement to keep me in line. Amen. Start back in verse 1. Let's read through that again. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Hey man, He knew where I was at. And He didn't just leave me there, and He kept pursuing me till I got back. You know, I could have died out there. But because of the grace and mercy of a loving God, what I meant for evil, He meant for good. And He didn't let me die, and He brought me back. He didn't have to. He didn't have to, and he didn't have to let you get here this morning. He didn't have to let you make it to the house of God this morning to a place where you could get things right with God. He didn't have to, but he done that because he loves you. He loves you. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. That's one of the greatest statements it's ever been. And I've experienced that. Verse 7, I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Here he uses the value of a coin to show the value of a soul. And we are a valuable thing to him. And he desires us all, no matter what anybody else tells you. The Lord desires us all. And it says when he finds us, when we come back to him, it said that there is joy in the presence of the angels. Who's in the presence of the angels? Jesus. God himself is who is in the presence of the angels. And if God finds you, God gets you back to himself, he rejoices. Amen. And I believe, I read this too. It said that you can tell the health of the state of spiritual health of a church because of what they rejoice over. And I believe this morning, I just believe this with all my heart. I believe that if you've been lost and you're off on the wayward way, if you would come back, this place would go up in a shout. If you would just come back, if you would just cry out to him, if you would just be ready and willing to be set back on the rock when he comes to get you out, I'll shout with you. I'll shout with you. We'll read through this. Y'all know this story. I ain't going to be long. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. How many of us has wasted what God has given us? We've wasted the free gift of salvation, the filling of the Holy Spirit that we could have used to help lead somebody to God and to be a witness of who Jesus Christ is. We've wasted it. I wasted so many years. I have to look back, and God used it for his good, and he had a plan, and I know he did, but I have to look back on my life and say, when I was 12 years old and Johnny Green was up here preaching as an 11-year-old, and he was here and he was preaching, the Lord called me to preach. What if I went ahead and surrendered then? What if I had have stayed on the path? What if some of these friends, and I've got, I don't know how many friends, it's dead and in hell from the same thing Nicole's got going on right now, that's dead and most likely in hell unless they got things right on their deathbed. I don't know, but living in sin, you can't go to heaven. How many of them could have had a different life if I had just stayed on the path? If I had just stayed right with God, if I just stayed with a fold and showed them something different. I've got to live with that. I got to live with that blood that's on my hands. I got to live with that. I listened to a young preacher was preaching. I listened to it on sermon audio, and he was telling a story. He was a paramedic, and he said that he was backslid. He was in a backslidden condition, and he said that he had run this or he had talked to this guy one day. And I don't guess he knew him before this, but he had talked to him, and he said they was just talking about filth. Really was what they was talking about. And him, a backslidden Christian, they was talking about the filth of the world. He said 2 weeks later, I just heard this story the other day. He said 2 weeks later, he run a call, and it was that man. He said he had never had this happen before, but that man was dead when he walked in the place and was already doing CPR. And somebody said, can you take over? And he said, sure. And he said he leaned down to begin CPR. And he said as soon as he started CPR, that blood spewed out of that man, everything on the inside, blood, everything, just spewed all over him from head to toe. He was covered. And he said, in that moment, the Lord said, that blood's on you. That blood's on you. Literally, it was on him. But because he was backslid and he knew better, the blood of that man that was in his hand that he was trying to get to come back to life through CPR, the blood come all over him, and he knew that he was dead and most likely in hell because he had talked the filth with him instead of talked the God with him, because he had backslid and got off the path. And now this man's dead and his blood's on him. I wonder this morning how many people's blood is on me and on you and on you and on you and on you. Blood, I don't want no more blood on my hands. I don't want no more. I want to stay on that path. I think that's part of my chastisement. That's part of my leg breaking, my punishment, so that I won't stray no more. Well, I thank God that He kept me. I thank God that He kept me, but there's so many that's in hell today. There's so many that died in that shape, and their blood is on me. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, I find that very interesting. I wrote this in my Bible. There's always a drought in sin. Always a drought in sin, but it wasn't just a few verses there. It was, what, two verses that the father just had given him his substance and sent him on his way. Two verses later, he's in a drought and ain't got nothing to eat. It was a very, very short season of enjoyment and pleasure in that sin. It was very short. Satan won't show you that, and he don't show me that today, and I know better. And I know better. But he'll show you the enjoyment and the pleasure. And I know this is a lot of times used for young people, but us old people better listen. There is pleasure in sin for a very short season. And then after that, it's misery and torment and chastisement and blood on our hands. And blood on our hands. And he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know, you don't have to physically be laying in a hog pen for you to feel like you all are in the filth. If you're a born-again Christian and you're living in sin of any kind of sort, you feel like you're wallowing in the hog pen. You feel like you're wallowing in the filth and you're eating with the hogs instead of eating from the master's table. Boy, I wouldn't trade nothing for the times that I can feel this morning. I wouldn't trade nothing for this morning, what I feel in my soul right now that's coming straight from the master's table, for anything that the world ever had to offer me. I don't ever want to go back there. I don't ever want to be away from the Lord. And sometimes my acute dumbness causes me to screw up. But the Lord is right there with his rod. Get back. Get back. Get back in there. And I thank God for that. 17 said, and when he came to himself, I thank God that there was a day when I came to myself. But that day when I came to myself was that day that after I'd been crying for so long, and then the Lord came to get me out of that ditch I was in after he had left me there, that day that I came to myself, I was broken and I was humbled. Just as this prodigal son was, he was broken and he was humbled, but he came to himself. And if we'll get to that place where we're broken and humbled and come back to the Lord, I believe we can stay there. But we got to commit to it. We got to commit to it. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, I believe that most of our problem is that we're too proud to say that we're a sinner. I want you to know I'm a sinner. And in order for me to be right with God, I have to confess that without God, I'm a drug addict and a dope head and a fornicator and a liar and lost and undone without God, and I'm wrong without Him. And when I get beyond that, when I get lifted up to beyond that, that's when I'm going to fall, because I know what I am without Him. Butch said it this morning, you take the Jesus out of Him, He'll steal your wallet. That's every one of us. And when we get to that place, that's when we can get back right. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But thy father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That is not at all the reaction. The rejoicing, that is not at all what that younger son, what the prodigal son thought the Lord was going to do. He thought the Lord hated him. He thought that his father was upset with him and wasn't going to be good to him. But what happened? He gave it all right back to him. He had already wasted everything the Lord gave him, but he gave it all right back to him. Put on the robe, put on a ring, killed the fatted calf. He didn't have to eat with the hogs no more. All he wanted was some bread, but he killed the fatted calf and they ate steak. Thank God that he still ate. That's grace. That is grace. That's the grace of God that he still lets me eat from the master's. I'm not just eating crumbs. I'm not just eating what's left over. I'm getting in on the goods. I'm getting the goodness of God this morning. And you can have that. What are you waiting on? What's holding you back from just giving it all up? Giving it all in. For this my son was dead and is alive again. So in order for him to be alive now, he was dead. It said he was alive again. That means that he was alive and he died and now he's alive again. That's backsliding. A picture of backsliding. But the grace of God welcomed him right back in the fold. For this my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with thy friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living, hath harlots with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, this older brother thought, because he had stayed there, in his mind he thought that he was better than the other one. But from what I can tell by the humbleness and the brokenness and the place that the younger son has ended up because of the chastisement from the Lord, he's in a better shape than the one that stayed was. I don't know anybody's heart here this morning, but if you're that one that's out, that's a prodigal and you've been out, come home. If you're that one that's here and you're lifted up, and you think that you've got a hold on it and that you're better because you've stayed, you better realize that you can be right in the same shape at any moment. If you let Satan get you on the wrong path other than the path that God has set you on, it don't matter how long you've been in church, no matter who your mom and daddy was, your grandpa was, you can be out there lost and dead. Amen. I'm done. Tommy, you come on. Let's all stand.